It is the prerogative of God alone to prescribe the duty of men and angels. The will of God is a perfect will and must be obeyed as it is set forth in His holy law, because every requirement is just and is set forth by infinite wisdom. The law of God should be obeyed even though there were no authority to enforce it and no rewards for its obedience. The highest interests of men and angels are conserved in obeying the law of God. God's will expressed in His law is the supreme will, and no invention nor device of men can take its place. Obedience to the commandments of men instead of the commandments of God will be as abomination in the sight of God. For what God requires is essential to the highest good of His subjects and is therefore essential for the glory of God. Signs of the Times, September 24, 1894, paragraph 4. Very serious statement. God is good. You never say that with initial energy. God is good. And all the time. You know, God enjoys excitement from His people. Not necessarily a carnival like in Brazil or Trinidad, but some excitement because we're in the presence of the God who, do you know, without God you cannot breathe or blink your eye? If, do that. Just do that. Do you know how many physiological steps are required to do that? How many channels have to open and close? How many ions go in and out? Do you know how many physiological steps are required to do that? And they're all controlled by God. So the Bible says, in Him we live, come on, and move, come on, and have our being. You can't sneeze without God. You can't blink an eye without God's physical laws enabling that to happen. I'm saying this so that we may have a consciousness of how dependent we are on God. And so I try it again at the risk of being embarrassed. God is good. And all the time. How many of you love God? Can I see your right hand? Sister, you put up two, so you really have a romance with God. God bless you. God is a nice person. Let's try to treat Him nicely. You know what the Bible says of God? You know, there's a definition of love in the Bible. This is not my sermon, but it's coming to me. The Bible says God is love. 1 John 4:16, 1 John 4:8. 1 Corinthians 13, from verse 4 to the end of that chapter, is a definition of love. It's called charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not itself, is not puffed up, all of that. It goes on to say, thinketh no evil. God thinks no evil of you. Well, Jeremiah says the same thing. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil. God has no evil thoughts about you and me, even when we're caught in the roller coaster of sin. God's thought is, how can I save him? So when the Bible says God is good, this is no joke. One of the things God will do before Christ comes back is to give the world a clearer revelation of his love. And when people see that, they'll collapse at the cross. God is a nice person, to put it in modern language. And I thank God that he is God. Because if I were God, prisons would be full of people. And graveyards would run out of space. But I'm glad that God is God and not me. So I love God. Let me also say about God, very respectfully, he has never done me anything wrong. Never. Now, have I been angry with God? Yes. But I had no reason. Because the Bible says, they hated me without a cause. No one ever has a legitimate cause to be angry with God. No one. Because the Bible says that God's ways and His works are all righteous and holy. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. He cannot do anything wrong. And so in my life, All the blessings have come from God. Every problem I have had, I have brought on myself. And so I say publicly, God has never done me anything wrong. And I thank Him for that. If I end up in the flames of hell, it is not God's fault. It'll be mine. As we say, it'll be my bad, as the young people say, not God's. All right. Our subject is what? The power. Pray for me. I really want you. Who has prayed for me since I started? God bless you. I mean that genuinely. God bless you is a prayer that has three words with my eyes open. God bless you. And for those of you who have not yet prayed, you have this opportunity now to ask God to bless that man. He needs help. He looks like he needs help, and that's true. And the Lord will hear you. And when God hears your prayer and He puts His words in my mouth, your mind is protected. Because what I say will be God's words, and your mind is protected. Are you following me? So by praying for me, you cover yourselves. So ask God to put His words in my mouth. In the spirit of Jeremiah 1:9, then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I want you to think as you listen. Just think. Because thinking is hard work. Think. Let's pray. Holy Father, I come again. I can never come too often, dear God. As usual, I come asking and begging and pleading. I need help from you to present divine truth without any error, without any contamination from me. Please grant me your Spirit. Let Him possess my mind, my apparatus of speech, that the truth may be delivered without damage. It may be just truth, and that I may say it the right way. I humble myself before you, dear God, in this sacred desk. I humble myself. May the truth glorify your name and bless your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The power. Let's go to Ephesians 6. You read from verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Before we read, let me just, I kept forgetting, but God just brought it back to me. I want to urge you, if you want reliable sources of sermons, I recommend American Christian Ministries, as represented by Brother Allen, Sister Marion, sitting in the back. If you go to their website, you'll find an app. You know what an app is? Everyone knows an app. You can download that app, and it has, I believe, thousands of safe sermons that you can listen to and be spiritually enriched. And I think the app costs you precisely nothing. And so I recommend again American Christian Ministries. And they have an app, I repeat, which has thousands of sermons. When you're cooking, when you're driving, whatever you're doing, you can play these sermons on all your smart devices and be blessed. I believe, Brother Allen, Sister Marion and I were talking last night. When did I first begin? We believe it was in 2001. That's when I left my job at God's command and to take on this life of going from place to place, trusting God to take care of me and support me. I believe we began in 2001 together. And since then, the Lord has taken me all over the world. But God knows He has used ACM, American Christian Ministries, to get me the start that has now placed me on all six continents. And so I really ask you, by the way, the offering at the door is not for ACM and me, it's for ACM. Are you with me? And I told the pastor I'd make that correction. It's not for ACM and me, it's for ACM. If that's clear, say amen. All right. So keep that in mind, and please be liberal as you support a ministry that began in 1975, the Lord called Brother Al to commit his life to what he's doing now, almost 50 years. And by the way, God may be calling you to commit your life to something that does not look glamorous. It may not look glamorous, but when God called Abraham, he just left. God may call you to give up your cherished ambitions and your highfalutin dreams and tread a path of service that's humble, where no one claps when you serve, but where the work of God is done through you. So don't restrict God as to what He can ask you to do. Simply say, Lord, here I am, send me. So may God bless American Christian Ministries. I talk about them wherever I go, because we need safe sources of information. We really, really do. All right, what book did I say? Ephesians, what chapter? 6, from what verse? 10. Now you can say this without looking. Are you at Ephesians 6:10? You have my version? Let me see, how many of you have Bibles? Raise them, let me see. Bibles, Bibles, Bibles. Oh, I'm impressed. Bibles, Bibles, okay. How many of you have the King James Version? Can I see? Let me see. Oh, not bad. All right. Well, read with me. Are you ready now? Ephesians 6:10. Read with me. For we wrestle not against... Verse 12, sorry. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, come on, against powers, come on, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, pause. Let's pause and think of that. Your enemy is not your husband. He is just an agent of the devil. Are you following me? Well, I'm not finished. Your enemy is not your wife. She is just an attractive agent of the devil. Now, it can be an agent just for 5 seconds. Are you following me? Because when Peter told Christ, don't go to Jerusalem, whom did Christ turn and rebuke? Satan. In that brief instant, Peter was an agent of the devil. When Eve came to Adam bringing that fruit, whom was she representing? Satan. Now, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, if that's what we're up against, we need a source of power that can overcome that. It simply makes sense. You know, Jesus said, if you go to war with a man who has 20,000 men and you have 10,000, you start discussing peace. Are you following me? That's how Jesus reasoned. You start to discuss peace. Because a 10,000 army cannot defeat a 20,000, everything else being equal. And so if we wrestle not against flesh and blood, you can handle flesh and blood, you see. That's what Paul is saying. A man breaks into your house, you know, you hit him in a baseball bat, or you pull out your water pistol and shoot him somewhere. And you can deal with that man. But when an evil spirit comes in, when the devil comes in, I don't have the firepower to handle the devil. Not a gun, not a sword, not a knife, not mace, not pepper spray. I don't have the firepower to handle the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. There is a power causing your 12-year-old child to act like a demon. There's a power behind your boss who is driving you out of your mind. There's a power behind whomever that makes your life a living hell. I'm saying that to say, when we try to resolve these problems, don't forget there's a power behind the human agent. And so we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's look at principalities and powers. Now, they're now opposed to us. Let's see how they were originally. Go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. We'll read from verse 16 of Colossians 1. Do you have that? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Now you read with me, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Stop. In other words, when God created, he created principalities and powers. They may represent angels that had tremendous authority by God's will, but who fell with Satan? So now in Ephesians 6:12, we're told, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, because the angels that are now demons used to be perfect angels. Are you following me? The master demon used to be the closest person to Christ. As a matter of fact, we're told in Testimonies, Volume 1, page 342, paragraph 1, all should understand that Satan was once an exalted being or exalted angel. His rebellion shut him out of heaven, but did not destroy his powers and make him a beast. All the power the devil had, he brought with him when he was thrown out. In case you didn't understand, let me say it again. The devil is as powerful now as when he was before he fell. But he has an advantage now, experience. What's our subject? But that's not the power I want to focus on. I want to focus on the only power that can conquer that power. Write down these three quotations. Before you write them down, let's get a Bible verse first. Matthew 8, verse 16. Matthew 8, verse 16. Are you there? Matthew 8, 16. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with what? Devils. Come on, read with me. And he cast out the spirits, how? With his word. Now, the power of God in the word of God was used by Christ to cast out devils. Now, we don't know if the devils, they're demons with varying degrees of power. The Bible teaches that. Some demons have more power than others. As with the unfallen angels, some angels have more power than others. Christ cast out spirits with his word. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Christ has just endured the third temptation. You have Matthew 4. Read verse 10 for me. What does that say? And he said what? And he said what? It is written what? He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, Jesus rebuked whom? Satan. How? It is written. The word. So here we have Christ resisting the greatest power next to God with the word. So Christ can resist the devil, and he did. Christ cast out devils, and he did by his word. There is a way to keep Satan under control, and that is by divine power found in the word of God. Now, here are the three quotations I want you to note. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 341, paragraph 1. Have you written that down? Here's what it says. God alone can restrict the power of Satan, or limit. God alone can limit the power of Satan. That's Testimonies, Volume 1, page 341, paragraph 1. Now, Testimonies, Volume 5, page 448, paragraph 2. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 448, paragraph 2. Here's what that says. Jesus can limit the power of Satan. So we have Father and Son. Have you written that down? One more. Evangelism, page 617, paragraph 2. Evangelism, page 617, paragraph 2. Here's what that says. The prince of the power of evil can only be held in check by the power of God in the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. So she identifies three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, as the only ones capable of controlling the behavior of the devil. Now, this is God's church. And the enemy will do everything in his power to destroy the church of God. Now we know that Christ is no longer on the earth. Did I say the truth? He is no longer on the earth. We know that because Christ is still human, he cannot be everywhere at the same time. Let the Bible show that to you. Go to Matthew 28. I just said Christ cannot be everywhere at the same time because of the humanity which he still has. He's limited. I didn't say he has lost the ability to be omnipresent. He has laid it aside. Matthew 28, reading from verse 1, our subject, the power. Do you have that? Matthew 28 from verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His raiment was like lightning, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men, did quake and became as dead men. Now, listen to verse 5 carefully. And the angel answered and said unto the women, what did he say? I know that ye seek whom? Jesus, which was crucified. What are the next few words? He's not here. Now pause now and think with me. What did I just say about Jesus earlier? He cannot be everywhere at the same time. Now he's referring to the risen Jesus. And the angel says of the risen Jesus, he is not here. Clearly that teaches he cannot be everywhere at the same time. Because you cannot say to a being, he is not here, if that being can be everywhere at the same time. You cannot say that. The fact that the angel can say he is not here means that Christ could not be everywhere at the same time. If that's clear, say amen. Are you sure it's clear? The Bible teaches that Christ is not everywhere at the same time. And the reason for that is he is human, while he's also God. Now go to John 14. We're looking at the power. John 14. We'll read from verse 16 of John 14. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Keep reading now. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. Read the next words with me. For he dwelleth with you, come on, and shall be in you. Stop. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now listen to me carefully. When Christ walked with the disciples, he was with them. He was not in them. Are you following me? Now, they still had God with them, but God was right next to them, not in them. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll be with you and in you. When we say, Jesus Christ, come into my life, come into my heart, we need to understand it is not Jesus actually himself that comes. Who comes into us? The Holy Spirit, representing Jesus Christ. Of course, the Holy Ghost is such a powerful representative that he brings the literal life of Christ to us. He is the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Father, Romans 8 verse 9. But it is not Christ himself, because Christ is on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, still carrying human flesh. Of course, glorified now, he's risen, but glorified human flesh, he cannot be everywhere. And so he has a representative, the Holy Spirit. Understand something about the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all fully divine. They have different functions, but they're fully divine. Are you following me? This is a father. This is a mother. Each one is 100% a parent. When it comes to authority, we have the father and the mother. Are you following me? This is biblical. We have the father, the mother. But both are 100% parents. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Equally divine. Different authority based on the office that they carry out. And so Jesus could say, my Father is greater than I. He did not mean my Father is more divine. It means my Father has a higher office than I do. Let me explain that quickly as I continue with the power. Go to John 13. John 13, our subject, the power. You have verse 16 of John 13. What does verse 16 say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, read carefully now, come on. The servant is not greater, come on, than his what? Neither is he that greater than he that. What is Jesus saying? Now, we have two people in that verse. Name them. Who are the two people in that verse? The servant, come on, and the Lord or the master. Which one is greater? Why? Because he has authority to send. Jesus says the Lord or the master is greater because he has the power to send. Now, listen to John 17:13. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Finish that verse. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. All right, did we finally find John 17:3? If you have my version, read it. What does it say? This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Careful now. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What did we learn about this sending and the person sending and the person sent? What did we learn? The person who sends has greater authority than the person sent. Now, did Jesus send the Father or did the Father send Jesus? The Father sent Jesus. Who has greater authority? The Father. But they're both fully God. Are you following me? All right. Now, Jesus said, he will dwell with you and in you. The Spirit of God cannot be less than God. Are you listening to me? The Spirit of God cannot be less than God. The Spirit of God must be equal with God. The Spirit of God represents God Himself. Romans 8:9 calls Him the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God. Christ said He is the one who comes. And when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. When He comes, He will represent me. That's why Jesus says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But He meant in the representative person of the Holy Ghost. But since the Holy Ghost fully represents Christ, the power Christ exercised over the devil is the same power the Holy Ghost exercises. Because Christ is no longer on the earth, so the power against the enemy is the power of the Holy Ghost. Who are the members of the Trinity? Name them quickly. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Who are the members of the Satanic Trinity? Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. You find them in Revelation 12, 13, and of course go to 19 to find the false prophet as identified with the one who sets up the mark of the beast, Revelation 13, 15. What God has, hell has. So, here's God on the positive side, here's Satan on the negative. Here is Jesus on the positive, here's the beast on the negative. Here is the Holy Spirit on the positive, here's the false prophet on the negative. Are you following me? If you don't know what I'm saying, study Revelation. We have one for one. But Father, Son, Father can conquer the negative Father. Are you following me? Son on the positive can conquer the negative Son, the beast. Holy Ghost on the positive can conquer the negative false prophet. The powers of heaven now are represented by the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to what Jesus advises us. Go to Matthew 7. We're talking about the power. If there's anything you should ask God for, you should ask God for the Holy Spirit. Because when He comes, He brings everything God has. The Holy Ghost is in charge of all the gifts that God can give to us. Are you with me? He is the manager of God's resources. What book did I say? What chapter? 7. We read verse 13. Do you have that? Let's pray. Father in heaven, please give me more of your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Help me to submit self or subject self and to glorify you alone. In Jesus' name I truly pray. Amen. What does Matthew 7:13 say? Matthew 7:11, sorry. 7:11, not 13. What does that say? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Stop. Let's digress briefly. Listen to the words again. If ye then, being what? Evil. What does Jesus say about some evil people? Come on, the next few words. They know what's right and wrong. Listen to the words of the Bible. If ye then, being evil, know how to give what? Good gifts. So Christ is telling us that no one is so evil that a person does not have a capacity to differentiate between what's good and what's bad. To some degree. How much more shall your Father in heaven give what? Come on, look at the verse. Give what? Good things to them that ask. Now, good things, that's plural. How many good things does God have for us? Many. Now, Matthew says good things. Follow me closely. Luke will give us the same verse with a little modification. And it throws great light on what Christ was saying. Go to Luke chapter 11. I believe it's verse 13 now in Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 13. All right. Our subject, the power. We're looking at that power. You have Luke 11, verse 13? Read with me. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall what? Your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask. Now, let's pause. What did we have in Matthew? Good things. That's plural. So God has how many good things for us? Many. But Luke identifies how many? One. Which one is that? The Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying through Luke? Because all Scripture is given how? The Holy Spirit is leading Luke to say, look, Matthew said good things, but I need you to be more specific. Of all the good things God has for you, none is more important than the Holy Ghost. Now, that's the power we need. It's the absence of that power that has the church so weak. You can have all the symposiums you want or the conferences about how to reach the postmodern mind and how to reach generation X and Y and H and P and Q. And without the Holy Ghost, your efforts will produce perspiration and nothing else. Those 12 disciples, well, 11, got rid of Judas, replaced him. So 12, yes. Look at what they did in the early church. Very few were highly educated. Fishermen. Look at what they did. You know why they worked so productively? The Holy Spirit. A preacher can preach truth from morning to night, and it makes sense to you. If the Holy Ghost does not take that truth and apply it to every listening heart, there is no conviction. The Spirit of God. And so Luke says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? My brothers and sisters, there is a power abroad in the universe, or the earth. That's Satan. He is so powerful that the only way he can be controlled is by the exercise of divine power. I am not here to glorify the power of the devil, but you need to understand who you're up against. But you need to understand more clearly the power that is behind you. The Spirit of God. That's the power the church needs. As I said before, when the Spirit of God comes, He brings everything God has. Let's go to John 16 and take a look at that. John 16. Let's read from verse 13 of John 16. Have you found that? If you don't mind, read it with me. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. Stop. The verse doesn't mean He does not talk about Him. The verse means He does not speak on His own authority. Because He, like Christ, is sent. Are you following me? So the Father sent the Son. The Father sent the Holy Ghost. So the Father is above both. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Not the witch doctor. God will show you what's coming down the line. Now, read verse 14. What does that say? He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall shew it unto you. Meaning, the treasures of Christ, whether it be doctrinal treasures or the gifts of the Spirit, they belong to Christ. They are under the managerial control of the Holy Ghost. He shall receive of Mine and shall shew it unto you. And so the Holy Ghost came down and gave the gift of tongues, the gift of healing, the gift of discernment, the gift of miracles, the gift of whatever else. He gave those gifts at the direction of Christ. Those are the things of Christ, along with an understanding of the teachings Christ taught that the disciples could not understand until Christ went back. He takes the things of Christ and brings them to us. When you have the Holy Ghost, you have the manager of God's resources. Go to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. Let's read verse 9. What does that verse say? Genesis 24, verse 9. What does that say? No, read verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels, come on, camels of his master, and all the goods of his master, come on, when his hand stopped. What does that mean? This is Eliezer, Abraham's chief servant. All the goods of his master were in his hand. What does that mean? He was in control. Abraham did not even know everything he had. You know who knew? Eliezer. Now, what was Eliezer going to do? Get a wife for Isaac. Whom does Abraham represent? God the Father. There are two only begotten sons in the Bible. Christ is one. Who's the other one? Isaac. The Bible says that. Now, Isaac represents Christ. Whom does Rebecca represent? The church. Now, whom does Eliezer represent? The Holy Spirit. All the goods of his master were under his control. You go back to John 16, 15, 14, 15. He shall receive of Mine and shall shew it unto you. The same way Eliezer took all he needed, and give gifts to Rebecca. The Holy Ghost takes the things of God and gives them to us. Your greatest need and mine is not a bigger house. I didn't say it's not a need. I said it's not your greatest need. The greatest need you can have is the Holy Spirit in your life. Because I'm saying again, when the Holy Spirit comes, He brings with Him all the treasures of God under His management. What this church needs in these last days is an outpouring of what? The latter rain. The Holy Spirit to a degree that exceeds Pentecost. Without that, the church of God will sputter and stumble and stagger and fall. We are up against a power. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The only opposition to that is the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of God has rule and control, frictions disappear. Church boards run as smoothly as butter. You don't even need a church manual. Because everyone is emptied of self. Are you following me? You don't need Robert's Rules of Order. Because the Holy Spirit is in control of the mind. Joseph Bates. Do you know Joseph Bates? Nobody knows Joseph Bates? All right. He attended the very first general conference session. And he wrote a report, I believe it was Joseph Bates, was it Bates or White, one of the two, I believe it was Joseph Bates. And he described how every issue that came up, as if there was this unanimity, unanimous response, unanimous for every issue that came up. He said it was just amazing, just everything, no fighting, just. But that's probably the last time that happened. Let me tell you something, it can happen again. It happened way before 1863. Go to Acts chapter 6. Let's read verse 1. We're closing the power. Acts 6 verse 1. Or from 1. Acts chapter 6 from verse 1. Do you have that? Read with me, what does it say? In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a what? A murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Why? Because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. When the church gave out food or clothes, whatever it gave, the Jewish women got preference over the Greek women. There were problems even in the early church. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said what? It is not reason, come on, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Keep reading. Wherefore, brethren, what? Look ye out among you, what? Seven men of honest report, come on, full of the Holy Ghost, and whom we may appoint over this matter. Keep reading. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, this is Peter speaking to the whole assembled group of members. Here is what the next verse says. Read that and wonder if this can happen today. Read it. And the saying, come on. Stop. Read that again. And the saying pleased the whole month. Everybody agreed. Only the Holy Ghost in a group of people can produce that. Today, if you say we'll have a picnic at 5 o'clock, people oppose it. No, 5:30. All right, 5:30. No, 5:35. Let's change the carpet from this color to one slightly more blue. Opposition. Can we change those curtains to a green? A fight. Everything is a fight. You know why? The Spirit of God is missing. And where God's Spirit is missing, another spirit takes over. The power we need is the power of the Spirit of God. And Jesus tells us, ask. But he gives another condition. Go to Acts 5, let's read verse 32. Then we close the power. The power is the Spirit of God. And the church needs it desperately. If you think Pentecost was remarkable, wait until you see what God can do with the church when the latter rain falls. What book did I say? What chapter? 5:32. Let's read together. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Finish the verse. Whom God hath given to them that... In Matthew 7:11 and Luke 11:13, Jesus tells us to do what? Ask. Luke tells us in Acts 5:32, another condition for the Holy Spirit is to obey. Obey. And if there's one word in the English language the carnal nature hates, it's the word obey. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Only a divine power can induce me to obey. Because I am genetically opposed to God's law. And so we're not a one-text church. So Jesus said, ask. So you may think, oh, let's just ask and that's it. No, another part of the Bible says, obey. Let's find another condition for getting the Holy Ghost. Let's go to the book of Acts. We were in Acts 5, let's go to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, we'll read 37 and 38. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. Have you found Acts 2:37? Read with me. Now, when they heard this, come on, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Read verse 38. Peter said unto them, what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Finish the verse. And ye shall receive. So we have three conditions the Bible lays out so far. What's the first one we met? Ask. But it must be backed up with obey. And where necessary, get baptized. Which condition do you need to meet? You're baptized? Fine. Do you obey? Do you ask? There are some things you ask God for, he'll say no. He may say no. There's no guarantee. You ask God for the Holy Ghost and fulfill the conditions, the answer is yes. You ask God for the Holy Ghost and fulfill the conditions, God will say yes. And when the Holy Ghost comes, divisions disappear. Clearer understanding of God's Word comes. Unity comes into the church. So we read on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord and in one place. Not just physically, they were in one place up here. Our lives are committed to preaching the gospel Christ taught us, one place. But as it is, the church is in several places. We need a new church building, yes. That group says no. That group says let's just improve it. That group says something else. The church is not in one place because it is not controlled by the power. And that power is the spirit of unity. My brothers and sisters, let me recommend something for you. For the next 3 weeks, ask God only for the Holy Ghost and forgiveness of sins. Always ask for forgiveness, even if you're not aware of having done something. Let me say it again. Even if you're not aware of having done something, still ask God, forgive me just in case I have sinned. Job offered sacrifices for his children in case they had sinned. And since we sin unconsciously, there's always the possibility I have sinned. Always ask God for forgiveness. I'm recommending you do two things for the next 3 weeks. Don't ask God for money. Don't ask Him for a husband or wife. Don't ask Him for school fees. Don't ask Him for good health. Don't ask Him for promotion. Don't ask Him for work. Don't ask Him for a new car. or use one. Only pray for the next 3 weeks for the Holy Ghost and forgiveness. Now, you can ask for a car for someone else. You can ask for a husband for somebody else. Are you following me? But for you, only forgive my sins and grant me the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not going to ask for hands. It is a recommendation. I made this recommendation several years ago. I think it was in Indonesia. This member sent me an email a few weeks later. The person said, I am a different person. It's a young lady, probably 15 or 16. She went through this thing. She said, I am a different person. 3 weeks she prayed for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. I got an email from somebody else in some other part of the world who had done the same thing. The person said, I don't believe it. I prayed only for the Holy Ghost, forgiveness of sins. In 6 weeks, all my debts were cleared up. And I had to write and tell me, all my debts were cleared up. And I have a friend who wants to write you to find out how she can do it. All I'm saying to you is, how God blesses you is His business. Ask God for 3 weeks. Give me the Holy Ghost. And of course, forgiveness of sins. You don't have to ask God for food. He knows you're hungry. God cares about you more than your human parents. The Bible says, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Take a risk on God. The word risk in quotation marks, because there's no risk with God, but you know what I mean. Father, grant me the Holy Spirit. In accordance with Luke 11:13, if you ask. Father, I'm obeying the condition. I'm obeying you as far as I know. Acts 5:32. I've already been baptized. Acts 2:38. Give me your Holy Spirit, Father. 3 weeks. But your prayers must be backed up by time in God's Word. Because this is Spirit-filled. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. Don't just pray and do nothing else. Otherwise, it says, he who prays, only prays, will soon cease to pray. You don't only pray, but you study the Word of God so the Spirit now can come to you through the Word. I feel tempted to ask you, who will take that challenge? Okay. Oh, let me see your hands. Okay. 3 weeks. All of you have never seen this before. Okay. Are you serious? Stand up with me. That includes young people taking exams. Don't ask God to help me to do well. Only the Spirit of God and forgiveness of sins. 3 weeks. Starting tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you today, God, that there is a power to defend us, which is your power personally. Divine power. The power that conquered death, hell, sin, the grave, and Satan in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you today, God, that power is available to us. Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Then he ends by saying, lo, I am with you alway, or power is with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Dear God, without your help, we cannot take on the kingdom of darkness. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our only hope, dear God, is to be defended by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And so, dear God, loving Father, merciful Father, as we begin this three-week adventure, praying only for the Spirit of God and for forgiveness of sins, demonstrate your delight with us, Father, by blessing us. Not simply at the conclusion of 3 weeks, but bless us early to demonstrate that you're in favor. Because as your Spirit comes, He brings all the treasures of heaven and gives them as we have need. Hear this humble prayer, dear God. Help us to hide ourselves in the pavilion of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let him be our rock where we find refuge and defense. Let your word be our sword of the Spirit, our guide, our light. our offensive weapon and our defensive weapon. Please bless this church today, God. I offer this prayer from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, Amen and Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.